for all of today's participants that Justice McCormick will not be sitting on any of today's cases. And Justice Stacy is recused from our first case, which is RGR Company LLC versus Lincoln Commission on Human Rights. Ms. Woodmore
Montios,
good morning to you. Thank you very much. You may approach.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court. Ms. Bolden. This is a housing determination that began before an administrative body, the Lincoln Human Rights Commission. The commission found that RGR Company discriminated against Lionel Simeus in the terms and conditions of his rental. That decision was appealed to the district court, and the district court affirmed that decision. Today, I would like to address with you three areas: the proper scope of review, commission's failure to prove a prima facie case, and the lack of evidence to support the damages awarded in this case. Since Lincoln is a city of the primary class, the appropriate standard of review before the district court was in equity, not a jury, and the district court was to determine anew all questions before the commission. The scope of review before this court is also inequity. It's a de novo review. And you are to reach an independent conclusion without reference to the finding of the district court.
Now, with respect, go ahead. Sorry.
Start at the beginning on your standard of review. What is the path, please?
The path is, it's a de novo review for this court.
Well, let me start with the district court.
Okay. The district court's review was in equity without a jury, and they were to reach a decision They were to...
De novo.
It says in the statute, and it's Nebraska Revised Statute 15-1205, that they were to determine anew all questions before the commission.
And why do you go to that statute?
Because that's the appeals from primary class decisions, commissions, boards, that's where it provides the standard of review.
I'm sorry, it's because of what?
Lincoln is a city of the primary class, and
going to 15-1202 because it's a city of the... 1205.
Right.
Because it's a city of the primary class.
Correct.
Would a other basis or a more focused basis be the Lincoln Municipal Code at 11.02.07J refer you to 15-1201? Would that be the beginning of the path?
Rather than
Lincoln as a city of the primary class?
I do not believe so, because that's the statute, and the statute's going to control over any rule or regulation of the city.
So when the Lincoln Code says orders of the commission may be appealed to the district court for Lancaster County as provided in 15-1201 at SEC.
That's right, but 1205 is where you find a standard of review.
Okay.
Okay,
I'm just trying to get to the headway here.
Sure.
So you would start with the code that then tells you to go to chapter 15.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Correct.
Because there seems to be some debate about whether or not this was an APA or under chapter 15.
That's why I raised the issue, because I think there has been a dispute in our briefs over what is the correct standard. Not seriously.
Counsel, you would acknowledge, would you not, that inequity... We may, but are not required to give weight to the fact that the commission saw and heard the witnesses.
Absolutely.
All right.
It says that. But this is not a case that can be resolved on saying there's just an issue of fact here, it's a matter of credibility, we're just going to rely on what the commission did. There are issues of law here, too, that you need to consider. And those issues include whether the commission ignored its own rules in shifting the burden of proof to RGR Company and including uncharged conduct in its findings of fact and in its charge of discrimination and relying on hearsay evidence violation of its own rules in awarding damages when there wasn't any factual support to support it.
What damages do you refer to, please?
I refer to all of them. In this case, the damages awarded included $100 moving fee. There's no evidence on the record that supports that Mr. Simeus moved out because of discrimination or that he incurred an expense of $100 in moving expenses. It's just something that's taken out of thin air and awarded. They awarded him a return of a security deposit of $385. There is no discussion of a security deposit in that record whatsoever. You're not going to find it. They awarded him $3,500 in compensatory damages. And when you talk about relying on the finder of fact in this case was the hearing officer, George Green. The commission did not hear the evidence. And that hearing officer did not recommend an award of $3,500 in compensatory damages. That's something that the commission, on its own, in a meeting...
What did the hearing officer recommend?
He recommended the $100 moving fee and a $1,000 civil fine, and that a satisfaction of judgment be awarded, or that be found in the eviction case that RGR company
okay,
had.
Okay, but that went away, right?
That went away, okay. Right?
So the hearing officer recommended some compensatory damages, is that correct?
He did not.
Is there authority to recommend, is there authority to award compensatory damages?
I believe there is.
Okay. There's authority for that.
Yeah, so the law has changed to allow that.
I beg your pardon?
The law has changed to allow that.
Okay. Any other damages?
A $2,000 civil penalty.
Is there authority for such a thing?
Yes. So the decision on damages, it's not an issue of fact. Because there's not evidence in the record that supports it. It's not a credibility decision at all. In this case, there's no finding by the commission or by the district court that this is a case of direct discrimination. Therefore, the burden shifting framework set forth in McDonnell Douglas versus Green is the one that should apply in this case.
Didn't he make some disparaging remark as to the tenants? Ethnic origin, and saying he regretted running to people like you or something like that?
There is an allegation that he did, and let me tell you why that is not direct evidence. Ranky denied he made, Mr. Ranky, who is the sole owner of RGR Company, denied that he made that statement.
The statement was something about foreigners.
Yes, the alleged statement, and it's contained in Exhibit 25, in the first notation that Ms. Lumpke made on June 12th. And
was there live testimony by the tenant?
Yes, the tenant
also. To the same effect?
Yes, he also said that. But you will find there what the statement made, or alleged statement, and it was that's why I don't rent to foreigners.
So the tenant said that at the hearing?
Yes. I believe so. I don't agree on that. That's what it says in the Ms. Lumpke's notes. I can't recall specifically what he said, but something to that effect.
Not the notes. I'm asking from at the hearing.
Right.
What the tenant
said. He did say something about that, but I don't remember the specifics of that.
Thanks.
So I don't want to mislead you about that. There was no allegation in this case that Mr. Ranky did not rent to Mr. Simeus. In fact, he was in the apartment. So in that context, it's unrelated to the allegations of discrimination.
What was this alleged statement, I don't like renting to foreigners, was at that after all the problems with the landlord-tenant relationship and getting things repaired and getting things done, or was that done early before they started squabbling?
They started squabbling from the get-go, from June 1st. When Mr. Simeus came into to rent the apartment to sign the lease, they had an issue right away. Mr. Simeus did not want to pay the security deposit. He didn't want to pay for the furniture that was left there. And so they had, in fact, Mr. Ranky said, let me let you out of this lease. It doesn't seem like it's going to work. But Mr. Simeus was insistent that he wanted to stay there. Then Mr. Simeus bothered Mr. Ranky 6 to 8 times a day, calling him, trying to get his cable installed. In fact, Mr. Simeus' testimony is that the comment was made when Mr. Simeus approached Mr. Ranky in the parking lot in his truck, while Mr. Simeus was on the phone, about getting his cable installed, which is something that the commission found no reasonable cause on in their determination. So it's not even related to what was before the hearing commission, that comment.
Well, for example, there are allegations that the electricity was shut off only in his apartment. How do you characterize that evidence?
There was no evidence that Mr. Ranky shut off that electricity in Mr. Simeus's apartment. Mr. Ranky denied it. There wasn't any evidence why the electricity was shut off or who did it. And the rules require that they not rely on hearsay evidence. So they violated their own rule in finding that. And then their determination, they found no reasonable cause on that. So I'm at a loss. My time is done.
One of the charged conducts was untimely repairs.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And there was a finding of untimely repairs.
Well, I don't know that they made that finding that there was untimely repairs. But I want to tell you that the evidence in the record, and you know, at the end of the day, the commission needed to prove that all this activity was done because of Mr. Simeus's race or national origin, and that's what it failed to do.
Let me back up.
Yeah.
What is it? Your position? There was no finding of untimely repairs?
I don't believe there was.
But if the answer admitted there were no the repairs were untimely, what would be your response to the significance of that?
The significance is that there's no evidence that there was timely repairs made to people outside the protected class. There's no evidence of it whatsoever.
So that your client entered an exhibit basically to show a demonstrative exhibit to show he was untimely on everybody.
Right. Right. That's how he treats. I mean, he's got 12 buildings that he monitors, 75 tenants. He's constantly busy. He has to prioritize how he repairs things. And the evidence is that he timely repaired a plumbing issue for an African-American tenant, Lorenzo Nunn, and didn't repair a ceiling in a Caucasian tenant's apartment. So I think I'm way over time, and I apologize for that. Did you have a question, Judge Coleman?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is it Ms. Walsh-Golden or Ms. Golden?
I go by Ms. Golden, yes. So.
Okay, good morning to you, Ms. Golden.
Good morning. Chief Justice and members of the court, may it please the court. I'm Jocelyn Golden, Assistant City Attorney with the City of Lincoln, and I'm here on behalf of the Appellees, Lincoln Commission on Human Rights, and Lionel Simeus. In June of 2013, Lionel Simeus entered into a lease arrangement for an apartment at 1315 D Street, number 6 in Lincoln, Nebraska. That was owned by RGR Company and managed by Ryan Ranky, who's the sole owner of RGR. Almost immediately upon entering into that arrangement, Mr. Simeus experienced problems in the rental of that apartment. At the beginning, he asked for copies of his lease agreement, not just at the beginning of that lease, but repeatedly afterwards, denied.
Excuse me, but what is the act of discrimination, the eviction?
I would say the act of discrimination is several different acts by Mr. Ranky towards Mr. Simeus. One, that no copy of the lease was ever provided to Mr. Simeus.
Well, so what's the is he the only one that didn't get a copy of his lease?
There is some evidence that other tenants in other apartments did not receive copies of the lease.
Okay, well, what are the other acts of discrimination?
Two, that Mr. Ranky would not return Mr. Simeus's phone calls, that he avoided him.
Well, but isn't that in the nature of sometimes of a landlord-tenant relationship? They just don't get along?
I agree that in some limited circumstances, I can understand a landlord not returning a phone call to a tenant immediately or waiting a couple of days. But Mr. Simeus, according to his testimony, tried to contact Mr. Ranky 4 to 6 to 68 times a day, left him several voicemails, and Mr. Ranky simply just wouldn't respond, wouldn't return those phone calls. Those phone calls weren't just about the copy of the lease. They were about repairs that Mr. Simeus expected Mr. Ranky to
Was there any evidence that he was slow in repairing other minority or foreigners?
There is evidence of another tenant in the same apartment complex, an Ethiopian resident. He also had problems getting repairs, and I think that the commission would argue this as evidence that Mr. Reinke, or RGR company, discriminated against Mr. Simeus based on race and national origin.
Well, let me ask the same kind of question in a little bit different way. What is your best evidence that this was based on some kind of animus to race or national origin?
I'd say the best evidence in all of these actions would be that on approximately June 5th, 5 days after he entered into this lease arrangement, after not getting a return on his phone calls, Mr. Simeus saw Mr. Reinke outside of the apartment complex, attempted to approach Mr. Reinke while he was in his vehicle. Mr. Reinke would not talk to him or acknowledge him, made a comment to the effect of, "That's why I don't want to deal with foreigners," and rolled up his window on Mr. Simeus. And then at the very next day, Mr. Simeus...
But he had already dealt with him. He already rented to him.
He had already rented to him.
They already had a landlord-tenant relationship.
There's other reasons for a landlord to, you know, there might have been a profit motive initially for Mr. Reinke to rent to Mr. Simeus.
This is not a case of failure to rent. This is an allegation of unlawful acts with respect to a tenant.
That's correct.
And or the eviction of a tenant. Is that the pigeonhole we're in?
Yes, that is the pigeonhole that we're
in. Okay, so we're under unlawful acts in the code, in the Lincoln Code of 11.06.020B.
That's correct.
Those are the unlawful acts. This is the stuff you can't do based on race or national origin. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. What's the evidence that this landlord didn't do all of these same things to Caucasians?
I'd say, you know, in Ms. Lemke's investigation, if you read her reports, there is some evidence, you know, little snippets here and there of other tenants that maybe didn't get a copy of a lease or maybe had problems getting repairs done. But I think that it's overall, if you look at, it's not just one simple act. It's a whole variety of acts towards Mr. Simeus. This comment towards Mr. Simeus about foreigners, this 1430 notice, one day after he receives that comment, I think all of those factors show that this wasn't just a Mr. Reinke's, you know, modus operandi. This is how
he deals with tenants. So a day after he's rented, he gets a what kind of notice?
Or one day after the foreigner comment, Mr. Simeus received a 1430 notice, which basically said,
fix it in 14 days or move out in 30.
Exactly. They cited four different reasons why now, you know, 6 days into his tenancy, Mr. Simeus was going to have to move out.
I guess what I'm hearing you say, this is purely circumstantial. You're just saying it's the timing in relation to this comment that the record doesn't contain a clear case of disparate treatment. Caucasians were, whites were treated well, instantly repaired or repaired timely, and foreigners or ethnic minorities were treated differently. The record simply doesn't support that.
I think, you know, in certain instances, I'd say Mr. Simeus's particular circumstances with all of these acts against him, it wasn't just one act, you know, not just
one repair. What about the repairs that were made to the building while the tenant was asleep?
And that's, you know, that was really, kind of, you know, when Mr. Simeus came in after that he was really upset by that. Mr. Simeus had, you know, tried to contact Mr. Reinke. Finally, Building and Safety got involved. A letter was sent to Mr. Reinke 26 days into Mr. Simeus's tenancy. Mr. Reinke shows up without advance notice.
Was there other testimony in the record that he did that to other tenants?
There is evidence that he would enter apartments without advance notice.
He's just not a very good landlord.
You know, I don't want to speak badly of Mr. Reinke because he's not
well,
here.
And look, go back to the framework and the significance of the evidence. So the commission is saying on behalf of the tenant, these are the things that took place, right? And the landlord comes in and he says with his exhibits, is this a correct statement, that the landlord comes in with his exhibits and said, well, I'm untimely as to everybody, right? And then the, and claims that meets his burden, right?
Right.
Under the McDonald framework, is that right?
Right, that's what
and
he's saying.
And then the burden shifts back to the tenant/commission. Is that how it works?
I would say...
Is that to say that is or is not a pretext?
I would say yes, under McDonnell Douglas. You know, I would argue that perhaps also you can look at the direct evidence of this foreigner's comment in the 1430-day notice one day after as direct evidence.
But that goes to a different element. First, there's an element of race or national origin. Then there's a bunch of evidence that goes to unlawful acts.
Right.
And they have to be connected, do they not?
I agree.
That help us out. What is our standard of review?
Your standard of review is de novo on the record. You review the record anew, but the appellate court can give weight to the circumstances that the hearing officer, Mr. George Green in this case, heard and observed the witnesses. He observed Mr. Simeus and Ms. Lemke. He heard the testimony of Mr. Ranke with his new explanations as to why all of these acts occurred. And he accepted that version of the facts and thought that those witnesses were more credible. And then he came to his conclusion that, in fact, discrimination did occur.
So you all seem to have a difference of articulation of the standard of review.
And I would agree.
I was trying to get to the commencement of how this is determined.
I would agree that we are looking at this de novo under 15-1201.
And how did you get to 15-1201 or 1205? Why do you jump in there?
Right. Under Lincoln...
Because this is a city of the primary class, or do you go upstream? Do you go to the code, the Lincoln Municipal Code 11.02.070J?
I would say that we would go with Lincoln Municipal Code under subsection J.
Okay. And that says, from the commission, you go to the district court and take a look at 15-1201. That's how you get there.
That's correct.
And that's different than an APA standard of review, is it not?
That's correct.
Okay, so...
I agree with you.
Okay, so then when you get to the district court, it's equity, as in equity de novo. And then when you get to us, same deal, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, well, I agree with that. You all seem to say that now.
Yes.
Thank you.
No, this is a contentious case that was basically filled with a lot of conflicting accounts on almost every single issue, including whether Mr. Simeus was from Haiti and spoke with an accent or was simply slow and had a speech impediment. However,
let me ask you, what activity clearly shows that the landlord was discriminating against the tenant because he was African, of African descent?
I would say the evidence is certainly not as clear as on the national origin where we actually have a comment from the landlord. But I would say that based on the Ethiopian tenant in the same apartment complex who experienced the same repair issues, that's evidence of race.
So you admit he has 75 tenants he's dealing with.
That's correct.
Was there any evidence of any other tenants that were of different national origin or a foreigner that complained about his treatment of them?
I can't recall specifically from the record, you know, other than, you know, I know of this Ethiopian resident. I know that the investigator interviewed other tenants in the apartment. Some of those were Caucasian residents or tenants, and that they experienced.
Is this a correct statement that Mr. Simeus testified, I'm Haitian?
Yes. On behalf of the Lincoln Commission on Human Rights and Lionel Simeus, I would respectfully request that the court affirm the findings and recommendations of the hearing officer and the district court's order that Mr. Simeus was discriminated against by RGR Company on the basis of his race and national origin. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
She is over.
We have no time for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. We will go on to the next case of the day, which is Nehens versus Gorsuch.